Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I'm going to pick up this week where I left off last week on the wood out of Lebanon. City to Hebron, which wasn't that many miles from what would be future Jerusalem. They would literally come full circle. And maybe things in you that were cut down are giving you a taste of where God is taking you, where He wants you to be a witness, where He wants you to grow in greater faith, where He wants you to dwell in peace, in prosperity, a place in relationship with Him, not just a distant memory of what it used to be like, but you're in a spiritual escal. You remember the cluster of grapes, the old experiences, the old prayer meetings, where you got intoxicated by the Spirit, where maybe you were slain in the presence of the Lord and somebody had to pick you up out of that altar area there at Landmark. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, that even though some of those things were cut down in the past, they're still with you. Those experiences are still there, and they're going to come back full circle, and you're going to stand in the presence of the Lord. It's going to be a return to the supernatural. It's going to be a return to a cause in the kingdom. It's a rediscovering, if you will, of a place in God that was cut down long ago, tasted in a time of sensitivity to His voice, and now you're back there, standing in the same place years later, knowing that what was cut down was just the beginning of deeper experiences to come, deeper encounters with God, deeper callings to be a vessel of honor in His house. So don't be discouraged. Don't let the enemy come in and tell you you don't belong. He's the one that doesn't belong. You need to believe. And when you truly start believing again, God has something for me from the brook Cherith to Zarephath of refining, that God has something for me from the things that have been cut down in Lebanon that are going to be transferred and used in the house of the Lord in the promised land. Things that have been cut down in my spiritual experiences of Eshcol, and I come back around to them years later, because what God did in that cluster has not been lost. What God did in that moment of the past is still a manifestation of the present. And God is still manufacturing something in your spirit. He's still developing something in your hopes and spiritual dreams that cannot be lost. And so whether it's wood from Lebanon, or a walk from Cherith to Zarephath, or the grapes of Eshcol, the cutting down, the cutting place is speaking to us of a spiritual transfer from the ordinary to the extraordinary, from the secular to the spiritual, from the bitter to the blessed, from the hidden hurts to the open testimonies and the telling of our stories. You have an undeniable story that needs to be told. It's a spiritual transfer from glory to glory. We don't get just satisfied in one level. It's not living off of past mistakes or past successes, but moving closer to God in this hour, in this house, the house of God, in this moment of time. I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight that God is bringing many of you to a new experience in an old place. Hear me what I'm telling you. It hasn't moved. It's still there, and you can find it again. It's a new experience in an old place. Sometimes it's a place that we've gotten so familiar with. There's certain hurts and pains that we've had during a measure of time connected to these altars and connected to where we sit in the house of God can often put in us a sense that we don't belong anymore, or that we can't be satisfied and our thirst cannot be quenched. But I tell you again in the Spirit today that God has a new experience in an old place. You often read of prophets, of patriarchs, of men and women of God in the Scripture building altars and then years later returning to those same places for a new consecration, for a renewing of their faith. This is why prayer and fasting is so important, and the fundamentals of talking to the Lord and having communion on a daily basis with the Almighty God and with your friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because in that relationship, in that communion, there's a building of confidence. There's a restoring of faith, especially when we've had our faith crushed, especially when we've been disappointed or we come to spiritual places in our mind and in our spirit of discontentment. Everybody gets there. You're not alone. But what you have to do is realize, okay, if I'm in this place that many have been in, then I'm not going to stay at Cherith, and I'm not just going to be cut down wood left over in Lebanon, but God's going to use this. God's going to transfer this in my life from a place of carnality to a place of spiritual meaning, from a place of loss and grieving to a place of spiritual empowerment, equipping me to be a better witness for the kingdom of God. Because you, my friend, you have a testimony worth telling. Think about the original testimony in the tabernacle. What was it? It was the Ark of the Covenant and what was beneath that lid. Aaron's rod that budded, which is a supernatural reference to the lineage of the priesthood. It was the golden pot of manna that talk about the miraculous presence of God that fed the children of Israel when they had no other way of finding food or gathering groceries. God gave them bread 6 days of the week. And then there's those tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, the law of God. That was his testimony. This was God speaking to his people on a consistent basis. It was a perpetual testimony to generations to come of what not only the God of Israel had done in Egypt, had done at the Red Sea, and had prepared them to gain in the promised land and would do for them time and time again in the wilderness experiences, but a God that was always an ever-present help in the time of trouble. And I hope that somebody can hear that today from your pastor. I hope that you can realize that regardless of what you have been through, regardless of what you face or what you're going through right now, think about the wood cut in Lebanon. Talk about a place you didn't belong. Israel didn't belong in Lebanon, but there were things in Lebanon that belonged in the promised land. We were brought out of darkness, spiritual Lebanon, into marvelous light, the house of God. Even Apostle Peter said we were set in the house of God as lively stones. So you're not in the wrong place. Sometimes you may be misinterpreting a winter season, because this is something I've used in the past and I want to encourage somebody that may not have heard it. But you, right out here in my front yard, there's a tree that in the springtime is beautiful. And the white buds that it blossoms and the flowers on it that are revealed with some sunshine and warm temperatures. But in the winter, I go out there now, the limbs are brittle. It might look dead. You might say, well, it's not even worth keeping. Just cut the thing down, cut it up into firewood, let it find some other use. But no, it's a winter season. The season will change and the growth will come back. And so it may be in your faith. Everybody goes through a winter season. And then you look at certain branches in your life and you wonder why they're not producing. Why is it not being fruitful? And all you hear is the clicking of the brittle branches and you feel the loss and the wasting of time. No, you're not wasting time. You're walking with God through the winter season and that branch will produce. And there may be some pruning. There may be some spiritual perfecting. But the tree is still there. The root of your experience and walk with God is still there. And the fruitfulness will come. I want you to be encouraged in the Lord today, and I also want you to burn with a spirit of conviction that you're in the right place. And then the house of the Lord, and at Landmark Tabernacle, you're going to grow in the altars. You're going to be fruitful branches, and God is going to take the withered areas of your life and the barren places, and he's going to make them fruitful. And you're going to come to a season of spiritual success. You're going to come to a place of prosperity in the promised land. Yes, wood cut down in Lebanon, but transferred to the house of God to be used in his building, in his presence. How many places were you cut down in your past and told you'd never amount to anything? And look at you now. Look at you now, the way you stand in the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning and praise God. Look at you now, the way that you stand out on a street corner and witness to somebody, and they want to come to church. They want to get to that altar that you walk down to. They want to walk up there to that baptismal tank that you got baptized in, and they want to be washed in the name of Jesus. They want to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, because look at you now. God took you from Lebanon and brought you to the promised land. Be encouraged today, my friend. I pray in the name of Jesus that somebody rises up out of despair and doubt. I pray in the name of Jesus that somebody rises up out of resentment toward a place of revival. I pray in the name of Jesus that somebody will tap into that old cluster of grapes, that old experience of the past, the new wine of your Pentecostal experience, and that you'll begin to speak in tongues again. It'll be a new tongue. It'll be a refreshing faith. Even tonight, in a moment of prayer and renewing before God, I pray in the name of Jesus that God will give you new strength, that God will help you to get rid of that faint feeling, and that you'll walk with confidence in the Spirit and a conviction that God is not using you, and God has not abandoned you, and God has not thrown you aside and discarded you like some shard of pottery, not to ever be useful for anything again. That's not you, my friend. You hear me in the Holy Ghost. You hear me. The spiritual transfer that God has for you is in your character. It's in your walk with God. It's in your relationship. It's in your emotion. And you're going to go from Lebanon to the promised land. You're going to go to places where maybe you were spiritually left for dead. And you're coming back to the house of God to grow up in the presence of the Lord and to do more fruitful things than you've ever done for the kingdom of God. Sometimes we have to understand why the enemy doesn't want us to get back to the house of God, or for us to transfer the goods that we had of the world to that godly use of the kingdom of God. It's because he's territorial with his own kingdom. He wants to keep his captives. He wants to keep his addicts where they are. He wants to keep those bound in chains under his enslavement. He wants to use them according to his plan, whether it's from the poorest to the richest, whether it's in a political domain, a celebrity domain, or just everyday common laborer's domain. He wants to have dominion over human lives because his plan is to destroy them. Anytime the devil is using some human form for his cause, believe me, he does not love one human being. He uses them for his cause because there's no love in the devil. There are only lies in the devil. There are only sensual forms of pseudo love in the devil. And so he's got to keep future witnesses away from that hot, fiery altar. He's got to keep those who might become holy and might become an unstoppable force in the kingdom of heaven, an irresistible witness on the streets and in the prisons of the past, in the domains of the wicked. They may become a voice that begins to persuade those that they used to bow their wills and posture to, that now they are in a position of authority and apostolic boldness. So he's got to make sure that you stay away from the house of God. Be discouraged. Be discontented. Get dissatisfied. Be disgruntled. Stay offended. Be angry and get resentful. Let that bitterness build up over time so that any thought of going to the house of God and having fellowship with believers that you now might detest for some reason, it is because the devil doesn't want your testimony to get rekindled. He doesn't want your spiritual existence and walk with God to become spirited again and have that passionate prayer become a part of it again. He doesn't want the cold altar to get rekindled by renewed zeal for the presence of the Lord. But I encourage somebody today listening to this that you need to get the wood out of Lebanon. Don't let the things that could be used in a mighty way for the kingdom of God, don't let them get stuck in the past. Don't let them get stuck in a rut of regret. Don't spin the wheels in mud and slinging dirt and finding fault and deficiencies with everything, being negative and pessimistic and everything is doom and gloom and nobody's doing anything right. My friend, let there be a renewal of your faith. Let there be an increase of your spiritual understanding. Let the light come back on. because revelation is just turning the light on. Things that are already there just need to be seen. They don't have to be recreated. They don't have to be redone. There are a lot of things in our walk with God that don't have to be reformed. They just need to be refired, if you will. They need a touch of the Spirit of God to breathe upon it again. And when we get that breath of God into our spiritual man's nostrils, we are quickened by the Holy Ghost. And when you're quickened by the Spirit of God, you become animated and anointed. And when you're animated and anointed for the kingdom of God, you don't walk around angry at the things you don't have. You walk around exercising the things that you do have. You don't go back and start trying to figure out where you missed it, and you stay discouraged and frustrated and feeling like you have just this constant sense of unchanging futility because of the missed moments, because of the missed opportunities, because of the doors you didn't walk through, or because of the windows of blessing that you didn't detect when God opened them. No, that's the enemy's game, is to make you live under this constant indictment, condemnation, shame, walking around honing your skills of self-deprecation, walking around trying to figure out what your real agenda and purpose and reason and ontological makeup is. And you know what it is. In your heart of hearts, you know that you have a relationship with God, and you're not supposed to be trapped in the pit. You're not supposed to be stuck in a cage. You're not supposed to be wandering in a wilderness somewhere. You're not supposed to be isolated in a time of cave loneliness, if you will. You're supposed to be right out there in the middle of the battle, taking authority, storming the gates of hell, doing something for the kingdom of God. Now, think about what Jesus taught in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Verse 14 said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, first of all, you're a servant of the Lord and you belong to him. You're not a servant enslaved to the whims and wickedness of the world. We are operating with the things of God, with the resources of the supernatural. They're his goods. Verse 15 said, "Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." This is one of the reasons why comparative holiness and playing the comparison game is absolutely a deterrent in being used in the kingdom of God, because the Lord is not judging you by what he's given someone else. He's judging you by what he's given you. We spend so much time looking at what somebody else has or what they're doing with what they've got, when we need to take the talents that God has given us and do something with them. And so the scripture said, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. So he's producing, he's reproducing, he's doing something with it. He's not just sitting on that talent, but he's exercising it. "Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained unto the 2. But listen closely. He that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them." So you have the one with 1 talent. Maybe he felt like he should have deserved more. Maybe he felt entitled to more. But he digged it and he put it in the world. Now, I liken that to somebody taking talents that God has given them for the kingdom and using them for the world, burying them in secular approval, burying them for earthly influence, trying to gain worldly prosperity, power, prestige, popularity. And the thing is, it doesn't belong to him. It wasn't his money to do that. So now he's disobedient. It's not that he's bashful and shy. He can't use the, "Well, I don't know what to do with my talent," because the Lord had already instructed him what to do with his money. And so when the Lord comes to reckon with them, the Bible says in verse number 20, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, 'Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.'" Now, we could stop here and talk about to whom much is given, much is required. That's exactly right. My friend, if you've got a vocal gift and you're sitting on it and you should be using it for the kingdom of God, you should be singing in the choir, you should be dedicating yourself and living a godly, Jesus character lifestyle in order for that talent to be displayed and used in a righteous and humble manner, you've got to use that talent. If God has given you ability to teach, an ability to facilitate small groups, an ability to stand and be a strong, bold witness on the street corner, and you don't do anything with it, my friend, that's troublesome to the talents that God has given. But see, this man was joyful. He was like, yeah, Lord, I took what you gave me and I used it, and I made five more talents. And so his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. Now watch what the Lord says. He says again, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now here's what I want you to see. He didn't say anything different in his commendation of the man with two talents than he did with the one with five talents. They got a similar reward. In fact, the wording is the exact same. You've done well. You've been a good servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm now going to make you ruler over many things. And they both got to enter the joy of the Lord. If we'll stop playing the comparison game and get back to the kingdom cause, we will all understand that it's not for human glory. It's not for fleshly acclaim. It's not our name being exalted. It's God who is getting glorified out of the use of our talents. And so, verse 24 says, then he which had received the one talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. Now, I want you to look here at an attitude that describes a characteristic of people in the end time. Look here how he wants to blame the character of the Lord. He wants to really talk about how mean he makes this Lord seem unfair. Reaping where thou hast not sown, he's made this Lord sound like he's a thief. And he's full of this kind of blame game. You know, I really didn't see the blessing in the talent that you gave me. All I found was blame and bitterness. Well, you know what the Lord did? He didn't even defend himself. He just looked at that slothful servant and he said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. In other words, there should be a return on the investment that God has put into our individual lives, not just the corporate body of the church where we're fitly framed together, but individually we have talents and we should be reaping something out of that. There should be a revelation of the kingdom of God and the cause of Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ and all that we do, because we're doing this, again, not for our own glory, but we've been touched by the grace of God. We're not doing it because we deserved to be in this company to start with. He gave us everything we had, every talent. If it's an ability to sing or speak or have intelligence or problem solve, or you have a high emotional intelligence, that's all because he gave us those talents. We become his masterpiece. The work of grace is in us. And so because the favor of God is upon us, fruitfulness should come out of that favor. Because we've been given so much by the kingdom of God. Think about it. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And so you know what this Lord did? He said, therefore, take the talent from him, give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. If we don't do anything with what God has given us, there is a reckoning, not a reward. There is punishment, not the prize at the end of the journey. So my friend, let us take all the things that we have. Let us take the wood out of Lebanon. Let us take the cluster of grapes out of Eshcol. Let us take those things that have been divinely designed, the talents that God has put within us, and let us use them for the kingdom. Don't you let the devil rob you of one more day of your destiny, of being used in the kingdom of God to your fullest potential and to the fulfillment of every promise spoken in your life, in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.